to the map of yesterday, trying to figure out what the Maskanas of Gemara was. A very, very tricky sugya that appeared in the fifth paragraph. A lot of the Yesodos of Or, they're all thrown into the mix, trying to figure out what's the parameters of this did of 10 Tvachim. Are there any exceptions to this rule of 10 Tvachim? Whether a Bor is Lahavlo, Bor is Lahavta, all the Yesodos of Bor start to come together in this strange story. So the story involved that we have to give a curse of Tov even to the animal. One animal that fell into the pit, not an animal falling into that water thing. We have nothing to talk about for the last 2 days. So this animal fell in. It was less than 10 tefachim deep. And Rav Nachman paskin that it was a treifa. Why do you paskin? Presumably because that's called chavata. There's a shear of chavata. It wasn't 10 tefachim. That's also considered to be a shear of chavata. So the Gemara got all hits about that. Is that really true? What do you do with the sugis of Bor? What do you do with the sugis of Saskila? What do you do with the sugis of Makia? So very unclear what the Maskanas of Dvarim was. So when all the dust settled, there seemed to be four different Mahalachim in the Rishonim. Just what is the final word? What's the bottom line when all the at the end of the sugya? So one possible bottom line was the Shittas HaRif, and here we have to be tricky when he calls it the Shittas HaRif. It means the first version of the Rif, the version of the Rif that the Rush had in front of him, that basically the sugya stops halfway. Namely, the whole second half of the sugya, the Rif doesn't even bother to quote. What does that mean practically? That basically the Rif holds that Rav Nachman, honest to goodness, holds that Yesh Chavata V'Pachos Miyud, that less than 10 Tvachim can create a degree of chavata that could pose a problem, and therefore pose the problem in terms of hilchos treifos. And so, if that's the case, that less than 10 is enough to create a chavata for me, hilchos treifos. So, how do we make sense of the Bor story? So, the answer is the Bor story is not doing chavata because we misunderstood what Bor is all about. That the shi'af 10 tefachim is not a function of chavata; it's a function of hevel, of the bad air, the lack of oxygen, whatever you want to call the hevel of the Bor is, and it's the emes lamito. But in terms of chavata, yesh chavata v'pachas biyud. The problem is, if you go down that route, then you have to touch up a little bit of the makkah story, because if so, then the shi'af 10 tefachim of a makkah has nothing to do with chavata, it has to do with the shame bias. So we'll touch it up. We'll touch up all the rough edges of this pshat. So this is pshat number one. The shi'af is a rif al-libah de-harash, that when all the dust settles, the din is that yesh chavata, we'll call this the riff according to the Rush's version. Yesh chavata v'pachos miyud, and hilchos Bor does not reflect the issue of chavata. Hilchos Bor is a function of hevel, etc. So stylistically, when you read this pshat of the riff, you have to be a little bit taken aback, because textually, it's a very, very difficult pshat, because at the end of the day, it basically veers away from what seems to be the Maskanas HaGemara. I mean, what the Rif is presenting was a beginning of the sugya, but 20 lines of the Gemara backed out from that. So what prompted the Rif, what led the Rif to believe that what appears to be not the Maskanas HaGemara in the reality really is Maskanas HaGemara? So the answer is very simple. The Rush already alludes to it, that ultimately, this issue, our entire sugya, revolves around one basic question, namely, what is the ultimate mechayva Bor? The ultimate mechayva Bor lehavlo, a Bor lewa, Bor lechavto. Now, it happens to be that the Rif had other reasons. We're not even going to do the sugya right now, but based on other considerations earlier on the sugya, later on the sugya Bibakama, to think that the Maskanas HaGemara was the shear is havlo. Even without Rav Nachman's daughter, before Rav Nachman was even born, Rav and Shmuel already had this machlokes about whether Bor is lahavlo lechavto. The Rif already had kapaskin that it's lahavlo. He already had considerations to believe that it was lahavlo. So the Rif was already predisposed to this notion that hevel is really all that matters. If you really believe that hevel is all that matters, so then the shear of 10 tefachim is a function of hevel. Chavot is not a factor in Uchaz Bor. If that's the case, then we're perfectly okay in Rav Nachman's statement that Yesh Chavot V'Pachos Miyud. So Dafka, because the Rif really truly believed for other external reasons that Bor Shechiv Laftar is Lahavdol L'Chavto, therefore the Rif was willing to almost veer away from the quote-unquote Maskanas HaGemara. The quote-unquote Maskanas HaGemara is if you're in the world of Chavot. But if you're truly in the world of Hevel, then the beginning of the Gemara is in fact the Maskanas HaGemara, and that's ultimately led the Rif probably to Paskin when he does. So that is the first Mahalach in the Rishonim, Shittas HaRif Alei B'Derash. Of course, there's the diametrically opposed pshat in the Rif, and that is the Shittas HaRif according to who? Who's that? Rabbeinu Ephraim, which has eventually become the text of the Rif that we have printed in the back of our Gemaras, where the Rif says mamish the exact opposite, where the Rif quotes the beginning of the Gemara, and then he quotes the end of the Gemara, and he says, and the end of the Gemara is what really matters. Now, what are the ramifications of the end of the Gemara? So basically, what it means is that, is there chavot v'pachas v'yur? What's the answer? What's the maskana say Gemara? That Yemes says that ain chavot v'pachas v'yur. Which din led us to believe that? What was the impetus for believing that? Hilchas Ma'akeh, that was the real source for believing that. That Rav Nachman could not be understood kipshuto, but rather the din is that ain chavot v'pachas v'yur. Therefore, in the story of Rav Nachman, why did Rav Nachman pass that the animal was treif? Because in fact there was a chavata of Yud. Where was the chavata of Yud? If the pit was only six tvachim deep, what's the answer? You have to be mitzvah after four tvachim from the ground to the heart, to the kishkas of the animal. So that piece of reality has to be part of your picture. So again, this is all assuming that ein chavata v'pachas miyud. In order to defend the Rav Nachman story, so in the case of Rav Nachman, there was 6 plus 4. What's the problem now? What area of halacha has to be reevaluated once you accept Rav Nachman's math of 6 plus 4? What halacha closest to our heart now has to be reevaluated? Everybody say, what halacha is? What halacha? Halachas of bor. Why the halachas of bor? Because after all, the Mishnah says the shear of bor is 10 tefachim, and that's not true. Depending on how the animal's standing. If the animal's walking on all fours, then the shear should be only 6. So what does Rabbeinu Ephraim Pedas HaRif say? What's the answer? That what? That in Hachinami. Who was the first one to say that? Who gave that answer? What? The Gemara said that. The Gemara says, the Ingedur. The Gemara says that Hachavai Eskinan, the whole case of Bor Asara, everything we've been talking about all week, we've been talking about Bor Asara. That's the only thing we've accomplished. I mean, it's a big accomplishment in life. But this week, when you come to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, in Shabbos, usually on Friday night, when I get to Lechadodi, so I like to try to play back in my mind a little bit, try to think a little bit, Din B'Cheshbon, how the week was, what I learned during the week, what were the great things, the great spiritual aspirations of the week. So Baruch Hashem, this week was dedicated to Bor Asara. That's it. We spoke about the Mokka for Bor Asara for Misa, for Nezik, and for one Bor, for two Bors, how it plays at Rav Nachman. It's a whole thing. Halo Dover, that's something to present to Rabbi Shalom on Friday night. Bor Asara. Rabbi Say, according to the Rif, Rabbi Ephraim's version of the Rif, that ain't chavad apachas miyud. And Rav Nachman's fancy schmancy math, it comes out that what's the shear of Bor Asara? What's the shear of Bor Asara? Labdavka Asara. It means depending on how the animal is standing or not standing, that's going to impact whether you really truly need 10 tvachim or not. So that's the two diametrically opposed version of the Rif. That's the pshat number one.
According to the Rush's version of the Rif, did the Rif have a different gear set on our Gemara, or did
they
the same?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
If he had the same gear set, it's kind of difficult because the Gemara, how would he explain the Gemara?
Because he was assuming this sugya was going aliba de mandiyam, that lechavata, but when all the dos settles, we pass in lehavlo. So there were two different trends. There were two different tracks in the Gemara. Right? Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Say, when you see the two different versions of the Rif, four penalty markers down in the same place. Five, okay. We'll go from the back first. Okay.
Could you just please repeat the Ramach one more time?
Bring the what?
The Ramach. Shout again one more time.
Remember Ben Ephraim's trap. Sorry. Ben Ephraim's trap. So Ben Ephraim is saying Vidas Arif that we basically follow what it says in the Gemara. It's right out of the Gemara that we pass in the Halacha that Ein Chavat Pachas Miyon. That's absolute end all. I say, how could Rav Nachman declare that the animal became a trefa if it fell into a hole that was less than 10 tvachim? So the answer is, well, we do the math. We say that 6 tvachim of the hole, 4 tvachim from the animal, from the ground to the animal's heart, and that adds up to 10 tvachim. The problem with that is that then it leads you to believe that bor is not always a function of 10 tvachim. So the answer is, you're right, it's not always a function of 10 tvachim. If the animal is on all fours, then it's not a function of 10 tvachim. If the animal falls, laying on the ground, falls plop, klutzes into the bor, then and only then is there a real din of a bor 10 tvachim. Okay? So Rabbi Say, just before we take the other four questions, hold on. So Rabbi Say, you know, we don't like to judge Rishonim for the purpose of, you know, just showing how smart we are. That's not our goal in life. But we have to judge Rishonim in the sense of comparing and contrasting the difficulties, the advantage and disadvantage of any given pshat, just to be able to levaris hadavar, to be able to understand a better reading of the sugya, to understand why some Rishonim
went down one path, and Rabbi Shimon went down the other path. So almost, what are the pros and cons, again, in the most covetic of fashion, what are the pros and cons, what are the weak points of the different shots of the Rishon? What's the weak point of shot number one? The weakest point, so to speak, two weakest points in the link of shot number one. If you had to identify the weak points, what are they? It's 30 lines of the Gemara just went down the drain, right? That's a pretty big weak point, okay? And okay, another weak point? We pass like Rav. That may be another possible weak point, that maybe we should pass like Shmoch, maybe. What else? What din, I mean, it's included what you said, that we threw out the second half of the Gemara, but what din just doesn't read smoothly? Because Maka doesn't really read smooth, because we have the Stam Brice that says 10 Tvachim, and it's not really true, because it's not really a function of Chabot, it's a function of the bias, that it's not true, because it depends on how deep the hole is. So we have a lot of weak points in shot number one. What are some of the weak points in shot number two? It's great. What?
Totally change everything we know.
We just change everything. Here we've been spending the entire week about boar, and we just kachal ma'askinon. The only time there's a shear of 10 tefachim is when the animal clutches, falls off its belly. But if the animals are walking on all fours, then the shear is different. So that's a pretty big weak point. That's a glaring hole, so to speak, in the second shot. So I just want to, again, not because we want to critique neither the Rush's version of the riff or Ben Ephraim's version of the riff, but I just want to highlight the fact that there are some glaring problems with both pshatim. Now we'll take all the other five questions here. He thinks that there was maybe it's possible. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not holding by Gersa's. It doesn't matter to me whether it was. Yeah, the bottom line is the riff left it out. According to the Russians, version, the riff left it out.
And also, Karabina, when he says Tiber Chosid Chavoga, does he make me that in the actual that's a din sense, like Tiber Chosid Chavoga? Because we're not actually talking about a puzzle.
No, he made it colloquially that we use the phrase ten tefachim.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah.
In this second shot with the math, is there any limit to how far we're
No.
Be like a centimeter,
and then you have a very, very big animal. Let's say an elephant. Giraffe falls down into a wine and it bangs its heart on the bottom. Maybe I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Segut. Yeah. Well, sure. Anyone else want to talk? Everyone's touched.
Well, we were saying in the rush is as explaining how you can get rid of the second half of the Gemara that it's talking about this is within Chavata, but the Rava's kasha was. Is this not Chavata? And we say, no, it's Havel. So how is the Hemshech Gemara then going to continue to go on Chavata if we explain that it's about Havel?
According to whose version?
Within the Rush. Of how
the Rush's version of the Riff?
Yeah.
No, when the Gemara eventually says Havel, and then the only reason why the Gemara backtracks of that whole shot is because of the Makkah problem. So the Marshal said, no, we'd rather be Meichel Zan Mevatel Zan Echel Makkah at it, and we want a Paschal like Havel. Okay, so we're according to the Rush version of the Riff, we want the Maskot and the Gemara to be Hevel. Not Chavata, we want to stay away from Chavata as far as possible.
Wait, but didn't we say that within the Rush version of the Riff that the reason they said all that was because they were within Chavata? And the.
Okay. But so, yeah, okay. One more, yeah.
Just piggybacking on what Johnny said, if you have a 9 tefach giraffe and it falls into a 1 tefach hole, right?
Yeah.
According to Ravina Fran, you'd be chayav.
I mean, if you think I'm going to lose sleep over that, gosh, is the giraffe falling into the hole? I mean, it's a nice gosh.
But,
you just can't.
It's just a crazy.
You know what I think we have to do? I got an idea. When I was in elementary school, we always went to the Bronx Zoo, Pashas Noach. Okay? So I think we should have a shear trip. We should have had one today, a shear trip, and we should investigate and try to see what happens when the giraffes fall into the hole. But I will tell you, since you did mention, I mentioned the zoo, I'll tell you a story about a boar in the zoo, okay? That's interesting, fascinating. Tell me whether you agree with this or not. I'll keep the tape on, as long as we do what we're talking about, but I just think we're... So there's a pasuk that describes about, has to do with a boar. That b'nayo ben yoyada, huhikas hari b'soch habor b'yom ha-sheleg. Says that he killed the lion inside the boar, depending how deep you think the bar is, Rashi Ben Adam, B'yom HaShalayim, on the snowy day. And again, it doesn't snow that much in Yerushalayim, so it was a snowy day, people remembered. Chikas Ari, B'sach HaBor, B'yom HaShalayim. So the Gemara already in Brachas has a whole drush, what the deeper meaning of that pasuk is. What's the Pshut Tosh HaMikra? I'm sure Pashut Pshut HaPasuk HaPasuk HaVeyom. Chikas Ari, B'sach HaBor, B'yom HaShalayim. So I'll tell you, I thought the Pashup shot in that story is, I was listening once on the news, and it was a snowy day, and they commented that in the when it snows, so you know in the Bronx Zoo they keep the lions in the, they're usually not indoors, they're usually not in the cages anymore, they're in these, you know, like, these deep, burrows in effect, and it's safe to watch them because there's no way the lion can climb up 20 feet. When it snows a lot, they have to bring the lions inside to the cages. Why? Very simple. Because if it snows, so then the lion can climb up on top of the snow and he'll get right out of his makeshift hole. And it's not going to be too good for the people who are visiting the zoo. So that's what I thought the pasuk was. That's what the pasuk means. That there was a lion that was, they trapped this lion inside this pit. Kol's man that it wasn't snowing, perfectly safe. There's no problem. When they realized it was a snowy day, they realized it's not that dangerous to leave the lion in there. So when they're going to put him into a cage, he had nothing to do with it. So Be'yobin, it was such a yishgibor, who hikas a'ari b'sochabor b'yomashelag. On the snowy day, he went into the pit and he killed the lion inside the pit. That was my thought. So we're talking about boar, talking about giraffe, talking about the bramzul, I put it all together. Okay, good. The vice said our story. So now that we've highlighted the almost difficulties with both pshatim, let's begin to look at the Rambam. Now again, the Rambam is always a tricky one because, unlike the other Rishonim, the Rif at least quotes the Gemara and then tells you what he says. We're just not sure what he said, but he said something based off the Gemara. The Rush says something off of the Gemara. Ben Ephraim, you know, the Rambam had the Gemara in the back pocket somewhere. The Rambam's writing a Sefer Mishneh Torah, and that bridge between what it says in the Gemara and what it says in the Rambam, obviously we don't have. So we have to try to get into the eyes of the Rambam, into the world, to the heart and soul of the Rambam, to figure out how did the Rambam get from the Gemara to what he writes in Mishneh Torah. So what does the Rambam write in Mishneh Torah? What does the Rambam tell us that sheds some light on this topic? So first thing, we know for a fact that the Rambam holds that Bor Shechiv Alav Torah is what? Havlo L'chavtoi. It's very sure Rambam. No one saw the Rambam? No? Want to put the Rambam in Rambam Kermes? So what did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Bor Shechiv Alav Torah, both, L'havla U'L'chavtoi. So the Rambam paskins like Shmuel, not like Rav. If the Rambam paskins that Bor Shechiv Alav Torah is L'chavtoi also, so then which pshat by definition just went by the wayside? Which pshat is just not shaykh to say? The first one, right? The whole rift pshat is all because that he held that L'havla, so the Rambam says the first L'chavtoi. So the rift pshat is clearly not going to work according to the Rambam. Rabbeinu Ephraim's version of the Rif, the Rambam clearly does not accept either. How do I know the Rambam didn't accept it? Because when the Rambam quotes the Din of Ten Tefachim, what does the Rambam not say? What differences does the Rambam not make? What does the Rambam not refer to? The Rambam couldn't care less about just how klutzy this animal was. It doesn't matter whether the animal fell in like this or the animal was lying down and, you know, rolled over and fell down. So the Rambam quotes across the board 10 Tvachim, finished. Like you said correctly, the Rambam says, how can you say otherwise? Such a psalm, to say otherwise. So the Rambam clearly was not going down the first route, and clearly not going down the second route. But therein lies a very significant problem. What's the significant problem? Im Kain, why did Rav Nachman, why did Rav Nachman paskin at the animal's treif? Based on what did Rav Nachman paskin at the animal's treif? If the Rambam really holds that you need 10 tefachim for chavata, because boar is a hilchas chavata, not hilchas heaven. So if you really believe that you need 10 tefachim for chavata, that's the shear and ain chavata b'chas miyud, and the Rambam doesn't do the math of Rav Nachman 6 + 4, so taka, why did Rav Nachman pasa? Why did he treif of the animal? What's the answer, Rabbi Say? What's the answer? Why did Rav Nachman treif up the animal? Or what's the correct answer? How would the Rambam address the fact that Rav Nachman treif up the animal?
There's a chiluk between.
There's no chiluk. No. What does the Rambam say? But we can't say that because the Rambam holds. So then, why isn't every boar chayif apachas miyud? No, but the whole yisod is because of nafal shem v'hamesi aloy yagemara. But that's not true. What you just said. You just said it makes chavata pachas miyud. What's the answer? What's the Rambam's take on the Rav Nachman story? No. But in order for treifus, you need a shir of chavata for misa. So what's the pshat of Nachum's story? Anyone know? What?
The animal wasn't true.
Yeah. What do you mean? Rav Nachman said it was. What does the Rambam say? Who does the Rambam reject? The Rambam rejects Rav Nachman. The Rambam in Hilcha Shechita, when he quotes the Dinim of Nefula, the Dinim of Treifus, doesn't pass it like Rav Nachman's story. Doesn't add up the math of 6 + 4. The Rambam says Taka Rav Nachman was not correct. You know why? Because something's got to give. You can't hold Bor Lechavta Yud and hold that stam bor is 10 tefachim no matter how the animal fell in, and then turn around, paskin Rav Nachman. Those three things are plus of the sasre. They're contradictory. Something's got to give. So both versions of the riff didn't want to give up Rav Nachman. So both versions of the riff changed something. Version number one of the riff changed and says, yesh chavad apachas yud. Version number two said, big nader, and gave a funny pshat on bor. The Rambam says, neither one of these pshatim is correct. And the emes lamito is that we don't paskin like Rav Nachman. That's what the Rambam says. We don't accept Rav Nachman. What prompted the Rambam to say this? Because the Rambam was so bothered by this kasha. Him and David were so bothered with this kasha. That's the shear of 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim depends on the height of the giraffe. That's what it depends on. It depends on case by case. The Mishnah says, Ma boa sheyesh b'yud tefachim. This Mishnah screaming out, the Terek and Yesh is screaming out, and you're telling me a story, it depends how the animal slided in or not. Whether he slided in safe into third or not. Whether he fell, whether he was bumped out. The whole thing doesn't make any sense, says the Rambam. So I'd rather take the Pshuto Shel Hasugya Zabor, Mabor Shesh Bukhtel Hamas Asar Tvachim, and not say that Bor Shechiv of Terla Havlo, which is we don't pass him, because it's Rav Shmuel Lok Shmuel Bedini. So rather than go down the incorrect root of number one or the incorrect root of number two, I'd rather take all the sugyas kipshutam, and if someone's got to be sacrificed for the purpose of this sugya, who is it? No. So we're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to go. That's what the Rambam says. A whole nother pshat lahalacha. Rabbi say again, the halacha, we have to say it like when Kavod Rosh, the weak point of the Rambam is obvious. Rav Nachman was not like a nobody. The Gemara sure spent a lot of time trying to be Yashir Rav Nachman, and Ram says, well, I have no choice, he's gone. Also a very, very weak point. So everybody say, there's only one last possibility to make everybody happy. And that is the Rashba's Pshat of the Gemara. Rashba says nobody has to be sacrificed. Not Rav Nachman, not Boshkiv of Torah Lechavtoi, not igniting off the crazy wild case of giraffes falling to the Beiris. Says the Rashba, everything is Amakom Yav B'Shalom. The Rashba is the ultimate Rav B'Shalom Olam. I just heard the other day Rabbi Simon, made by Mitzvah his sons, he quoted from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said that, says, Tamichal Rav B'Shalom Olam. One of the famous kashas. You ever read a page of Gemara? There are more machlokes in any page of Gemara than the whole world. So we read Mishnah Bolim. So he said, "I'm sorry for that. That there's a koyach of machlokes in the world. The Rebbe created the world such a way that ability of having machlokes, having chlukah deis exists. So now the question is, are you going to harness that koyach of machlokes in the right direction or the wrong direction? So there's X amount of machlokes that the world has to produce any given day." So if there are a lot of Tamil Chum around and they're spending all their time fighting about Tzaisim and Asivasim and Rams and Ravids and Rashi and Tzaisim, so then all the Kacham HaChlokas is used up for all the good stuff. In Ma'ariv Shalom, nobody's fighting about anything else. Nobody's killing each other. No one's arguing about countries, about economics, about power. No one's fighting about all that. It's talking about a very, very peaceful world. So, but if you don't have a lot of Tamil Chum in the world, so then nobody cares about Tzaisim and Asivasim. No one cares about Reb Chaim. No one cares about Rashi and Tzaisim. So then people start to kill themselves and fight themselves over all the Narishka in the world. So the Chassam Sofer didn't say this, but that's the chayra. That's what it means that Emosa Mashiach. So it's going to be a time of great shalom in the world. Why is it going to be a great time of great shalom in the world? Because the Mala Arz Deas Hashem. Because there's going to be a lot of Limud Torah. There's going to be a lot of machloksim in Emosa Mashiach. They're going to be killing each other over Rashi and Taisim. They're going to be killing each other over Rams and Ravids. But that gufa will create a tremendous amount of shalom in the world. So the Rashba was the greatest master. He brought the peace level up, the Nobel Peace Prize, the Rashba, because he's going to make everybody happy. Nachman's going to walk away happy, and Shmuel's going to walk away happy, and the giraffes and the boar are going to be happy, David's going to be happy, everyone's going to be happy. Okay? Benjamin asked me yesterday, a great chair assistant from last year, asked me, who do I make like Sanas of Inshia this year? So we're looking for volunteers. Who wants to? It's only a good sign. It's a sign that I know you're comfortable enough to be. Right? You're good? We're good? You're good. You're good. Good to go. Okay. You should just know that your ref line is going to be here for a while. It's very good, Josh. I don't think it'll be here as long as your baseline line, but it's May, maybe. What? Oh yeah, right, it wasn't even yours, yeah, it was your brother's, that's right. Yeah. It's been around Darius, you already forgot who introduced it. The oldest line of Shia hit Nakdut. Who remembers it? Nakdut? Do you remember? No? Do you remember it? The wall, that's a good one, yeah. We have to get our Shebecha back here for the top 10 lines that no one even remembers where they started from. Okay, everybody, so back to the story. So Kumter Ashman says that the Emes Lamito is what it says in the Gemara. Don't tell me games and stories that the last 20 lines are Shalakei Halacha. I don't want to hear that. And don't tell me that the Nachman's rejected. I don't want to hear that either. Says the Rashba, we have to go back to the Gemara itself. Zok the Hilge Rashba. When the Gemara finally asks the question about, hey, wait a second. According to Nachman's math of 6 plus 4, that should change the whole tzur of a bor, to create the possibility of a bor less than 10 tvachim in Chayav. And the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Masnisim de Agnilabor. What do you think that meant? So we all thought, all the Rishonim now thought that meant is that we're talking changing it. We're talking saying, you're right, you know, Hanami, that Hocha b'mayaskinan, the Shia of Ten Tefachim, is in the case of a Gnadar, nothing more, nothing less. And then you can either be for that answer or against that answer. But that's what the Gemara meant. It says, the Rashi, what the Gemara meant. What the Gemara meant to say was, if we can identify a case that you need a bor 10 tefachim in order to be chayav, and there is such an identifiable case, it's a strange case, it's not the most common case, it's the case of the animal rolling over rather than walking on all fours, but that case exists, so then when the tayor was kaveya the shear of a bor, it's a light plug, so I don't mean low plug like they're abundant, it's a light plug in the sense of there's a shear of a bor. The Torah is speaking about one type of boar, one measurement of boar, and the measurement of boar is nikva halacha as a 10 tefachim boar. It's true that 95% of the time, even with a 7.5 tefach boar, you may do the trick, and even a 6 tefach boar, even a 1 tefach boar, maybe if it's a big animal, can do the trick. But a Torah l'nosta, a Torah l'shiurin. The Torah doesn't give this chilukim that that our basin has got to come down, and every time an animal fell into the bore, we have to evaluate, we have to play the replay and see how did it fall in, and how deep was the bore, and could we add up the math? That's not the way the Torah is given. The shear of bore is 10 tefachim, atkan. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, wait a second, if every animal, every single time, falls on all fours into the bore, then the shear should have been 6 tefachim, not 10 tefachim. The Gemara says, no. It's possible it fell to Ignader. Did it really fall to Gnadar? No, I'm a sugar. What kind of animal falls top of the boy like that? So 99.9% of the time it didn't fall to Gnadar, but it could have. That is a scenario. The chilka ter b'shiurin and the shear of a boy is 10 tefachim. So according to the Rashba, the words Gnadar mean something radically different. They don't mean that's what happened. It's not a statement of reality. It's a statement of theory, according to the Rashba. And therefore, the halach is keveya that the shear of boy is 10 tefachim. What does the Rashba gain with this pshat? He gains phenomenal from this pshat. Because he's able to read the last line of the Gemara. We don't have to throw it out, like the Rif. Like the Rif's the Rush. We don't have to come to this strange conclusion that Tacha, sometimes you're chayav in a bor less than 10 tefachim, which flies in the face of what we've been thinking the whole week. We don't have to reject Rav Nachman, because Tacha and Huchas Treifas, so then you go boss of the Metzias. And Huchas Treifas, so you follow. If it's 6 plus 4, so 6 plus 4, you do the math in Huchas Treifas. Basically, according to the Rashba, you do the math in Huchas Treifas, because Huchas Treifas is just a reality check. Did it experience a fall of 10 tefachim or not? So you have to ask the veterinarians to do the math for you. How far is the trauma from heart to ground? But in Huchas Bor, it doesn't interest us what the trauma is. What interests us is a Shia Bor. It's got to be 10 tefachim. I can't do the Rashba. I'm just a phenomenal shot. Everyone is in Koma Yav B'Sholem. Of course, the weak part of the Rashba is what? It says, Mastis in the Agnid de Labor, it almost sounds like the Gemara is saying that's what really happened. According to the Rashi, that's really what happened. Rabbi said, what prompted the Rashba to say this? Besides the fact that he doesn't have to reject anybody, what's behind the Rashba? So the Rashba says, I'll bring you two rayas that I'm right. If I'm wrong, says the Rashba, then you're going to have a big problem. Why? Let's dig this bore, which according to at least Rabbi Ephraim's version, Yitaka Chayavin. It's all of 6 tefachim deep. And there are two scenarios. There's an animal that's walking on all fours, and then Me'inach Gisa is an animal that was just kind of plopped directly in. Okay? Two different cases. Here's an all four, this is the Egnid, the Egnud, can you tell the difference? I'm sure everyone can tell the difference. Okay? Says the Rashba, what you're telling me is here you're Chayav. Here, your potter. Right? This is the Rashi. I'm playing devil's advocate. Playing Rabbi Ephraim's game. Playing what we thought the Gemara meant before the Rashi reinterpreted the Gemara. In this case, you're Chayiv, because you have a total of 6 plus 4. Here, you just have 6. So you're Chayiv, your potter. Correct the Rashi, Kasha. Why you potter over here? I'm going to go with the following term you use at the Rashi. You should be Chayiv, even if it fell into a 6. Tefach deep bore, even if fell in, rolling in, the ignader, you should be chayv. You know why? Four words. What were the four words of the Rashba? Chilase bepshia v'soifei ba'ines. What's the Rashba talking about? He's referencing a sugi that appears in the third perek above Mitzia, a sugi that appears in the second perek above Kama. It was a discussion, the primary sugi is in the third perek above Mitzia, that's in Meis. And let's talk about a shomer. A shomer is given something to watch, and he watched in a way that he's a shomer chinam, and he watched in a really, really good way. He watched in a way that fundamentally he was responsible for what he did, but not completely. Namely, there was money at the time. He put the money, put the item that he was watching in a area that was a gevaldike shmira for fire, but it wasn't as good as Shmira for Geneva. And what happened? What happened? No, we got stolen, we don't need a sugya. Then fire came. Okay? So that which he was careful about, so that taka, that's what happened in the end. On the other hand, he was careless about a different possible outcome. The Levice didn't happen. So the Gemara coins the phrase "chilasim pshia v'sayfi b'ayis." So he didn't act a pshia, but at the end of the day, what ultimately caused the loss of the item was an oynis. So how does the halacha view that? Do you say that's an act of pshia, the shemachim is chayv pshia? Or do I say no, that's ultimately an act of oynis, and therefore he's part of an oynisin? So that's the shah the Gemara raises: chilasim pshia v'sayfi b'ayis. What's the din? Or the Gemara has this parallel sugya, possibly related sugya. He tells a story about a fellow in the Flamid Vavim B'mitzi. He was watching an animal for somebody, and poshaba. And he was careless. And he left the door of the barn open, and that's a very, very big pshia. So the animal got out. And then what happened to the animal? It was walking out in the field somewhere. Terrible pshia, but then what happened to it? It dropped dead. It had a heart attack, and it dropped dead. So poshaba v'yatzas l'yachamu mesa. Mahu. What's the din? So the Gemara again relates that to the sugya of tchilasim pshia v'self of Yonas. Because he was pesheya, but at the end of the day, it wasn't the pshia that caused the loss of the item. It was ultimately an oynis. Then the Gemara scales back a little bit. Maybe that sugya is not identical, but those are the types of sugyas of tchilas m'shiv esayfi b'yaynis. So comes the Rashman says, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim's version of the Rif, every bore of 6 tvachim is tchilas m'shiv esayfi b'yaynis. Why? Because you dug a pit of 6 tvachim, and that was a gevaldik pshia for any animal walking on all fours. And any animal walking on all fours is potentially going to fall into that pit. Now, the truth to be told, the animal did not fall in walking on all fours. The animal fell in, rolled off of a sleeping position. So at the end of the day, it died in a way in the boar that was really oynes, but it was tchilas pshia, because you set up a boar that could have killed it if it would have been walking on all fours. So let's nail you for tchilas pshia v'safi b'oynes. That's the Rashba's kasha. So Zetlin Fin doesn't Rashba that we don't do the math. if you really believe that you do the math in Hilchas Bor, Hilchas Treif, you do whatever math you want, but Hilchas Bor, you want to do the math, that's going to be in violation of the principle of Klosim Shiva Sofi Yonis being Chayav, and that can't be. That's the Rashba's Raya. What do you think about that Raya? Who's got a comment to that Raya, the Rashba? Okay, so he's entitled to hold it, to ask that kasha. It's machlokes the Gemara. Okay, he's entitled. You're right. It's not an absolute kasha, but it's definitely something to think of. Who's got a mahal?
According
to Rav Nachman. No, Rav Nachman is saying that it's treifas.
Why is it treifas?
Treifas are due to chalos tshiyos of Yonis, because the end of the day, you do the math is true.
But it only fell from six, and he's saying...
No. Rav Nachman adds up 6 + 4 to the heart. So Rav Nachman says it's treif. That's not a problem. But the Rashba is saying, if you believe Rabbeinu Ephraim's version of the story, that this din of 6 + 4 carries over to Hilchas Bor as well, and this will be chayav. If you're going to tell me that this is chayav, and you're going to tell me this is potter, I don't understand. Why is this potter? Why isn't this tchilas of b'shia v'chulet? Tchilas b'shia v'sof yonah should be chayav. That's the Rashba's kasha.
But
at the end of the day, Rabbi Ephraim is telling you do the math. And a 6 plus 4 is going to be chayav. So let a 6 be chayav also.
That's not a 4. Because if it doesn't come in with the math, with the addition, it's not called halachic 4.
Halachic 4. At the end of the day, it's a chavat. At the end of the day, it's chilas v'shiv, it's sefer b'yayinus.
Not
a 4. You mean more than that. What do you mean by that?
The reason why you punt there is because it's not Shia, because it's not going to happen.
I would say for Garrett, it's more likely this is going to happen. Right. So it's a Gevaldik of Shia that got me this, and now it's a Seif of Eidus that got me this. That's a classic case of being Chayef. You made it worse. You made it more Chayef. So what's the answer? But I said, no, come on, now who remembers from earlier in the week? You should be able to answer this Kasha. This Raya from the Rashba, who saw this Rashba inside? Who saw this Rashba? No, did I put the Rashba on the comments? Guys finished the sugya? Did guys start the next sugya? Oh no. Okay. Who wants a long chumash here today? I thought we were going to start the next sugya in a minute. Rabbi said, no, Rashba. Rashba, bring the raya, otherwise it's chas v'shul v'yodis. What's the Rashba assuming, Rabbi said? At the end of the day, why is the boar pachas v'yod patar? Do I remember Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam?
Yeah.
No? What's here, everybody say? According to Rashi, why is the Bor Pachas B'yod Potter?
It wasn't Mazik.
It B'chol wasn't Mazik. According to the Rambam, why is the Bor Pachas B'yod Potter? A father was Mazik, but what? Zainis, I wasn't. I will ask, it's going to happen. When the Rash perfected Kasha against Rabbeinu Ephraim and says, how can you set up a scenario that a 6 plus 4 is chayev and a 6 is potter, table it close with Shiva Sofi Yonis? That kasha only makes sense to leave it at Rambam. The Rashba was learning the sugya of Bor Yud through the eyes of the Rambam, that it's a Shia b'ten, it's an Yonis pachas b'ten, so the Rashba kazok, oh, if Rabbeinu Ephraim's math is right, so then every pachas b'yud is close with Shiva Sofi Yonis. But if Rashi's pshat is correct, that pachas b'yud, the animal didn't die. Not like you said, it's not a boar. The animal didn't die. I mean, it died, but I didn't cause it to die. So it's not even an oinus. Oinus means, of course, in the end of the day, where I put it caused that action to happen. Say the marshal, I put that money out in a place where eventually it burned out in a fire. It was an oinus because it wasn't oinus ladas that's going to happen on Ganev, whatever the case was, the opposite case. That it was a pshia for a shreif, and it was a oinus for Ganev. Forget the case opposite. Doesn't make a difference. But at the end of the day, the oines happened, and it being in that place was the cause of the oines, was the cause of the hefset. Here, my boar didn't kill it. The animal had a heart attack. My boar, Rashi says with a straight face, when the medical coroner signs off on the death certificate on this animal, it's not going to say falling into a boar because a six fucking boar just doesn't do the trick. So the Chayyur, the Rashba's Kasha, was only make sense through the eyes of the Rambam, not through the eyes of Rashi. But then the Rashba brings another Raya. Everyone saw the other Raya of the Rashba? What's the other Rav, the Rashba?
Didn't he say that because Rosh
Farim was here, Shabbat, and then he was... That's part of the story. But then he veers off in a different kasha. He says, we're used to thinking that there are two Beiris HaMuras B'Torah. There's a Bor Shel Misa and a Bor Shel Nezikin. That's our mindset about Beiris. There's the Bor of more than 10, less than 10. Bor Shel Misa, Bor Shel Nezikin. According to the Rashba, how many Beiris are there? It's the same Bor. It's the same 6 Tvachim deep Bor. It's just that depending on how the animal fell, sometimes it fell in a way that created a shear of Misa, and sometimes we have to suffice only with Nezikin. But there's no second Bor in B'Torah. There's only one Bor, that's all there is, there ain't no more. So the Rashba says, how can that be? How can it be that the same Bor, the Gabi animal X, is going to be labeled as a Bor of Misa, and the Gabi animal Y is going to be labeled as a Bor of Nezikin? That undermines the model in the Torah of Shnei Beiris, HaKusuv B'Torah. That's the Rashba second kasha. So Zetman Vendos is the Rashba that there are two independent, distinct Beiris. One is 10, one is 6. And one is 10, one is 9. And the two of them do with each other. One's a Bor Shel Misa, one's a Bor Shel Nezikin. Do we understand the kasha of the Rashba? Where's the Rashba coming from with that kasha? There are two Beiris HaKusuvs B'Torah. Really, where? This is right out of the Yerushalmi. Remember, we're trying to connect all the pieces of the puzzle from early in the week. Remember, we spent a lot of time early in the week trying to figure out, where does it say Bor Nezikin in the Torah? Why do we spend so much time on that? We all know Bor Nezikin. What do we matter where it comes from? Because now it's going to impact Lamaisa on the Shittas Rashba. The Rashba is being a raya from the existence of two independent Beiris. It must be a raya that they can't be the same Bor just depending on the falling of the animal. It must be two independent physical structures, two different Beiris. According to Rishami, that's a good kasha. According to the other Rishonim, according to Rashi's first prat, is there a Bor Shel Nezikin HaOmer B'Torah? According to Rashi's first prat, doesn't even say Bor Nezikin in the Torah anywhere. It's a double upside down, backwards, reverse, converse, something or other, diuk, that there's a thing called Bor Shel Nezikin. And according to the second prat of Rashi, remember the second Lashon Rashi, how many Beiris are there in the Torah? What? One Bor, but Nafal Shomer Shorei Chamor. And according to Tosfos, how many Beiris are the Aksuvim B'Torah? One. I Bor Nezikin, where did that come from? That wasn't Kosov B'Torah. Where was that Kosov? My mind. Logic, figured it out. It's not Bor Kosov B'Torah. And according to the Marikats, the Rami Hibrid Shin Kubetzes, there are two Beiris Hamur B'Torah. Come on. There's one Bor Hamur B'Torah. We figured out through a drasha of why does the Torah say the second guy's Chayav, Zepman Fadah, there's a Bor for Nezikin. It's only according to the Rishalmi's model that there are two distinct parashas of Bor, one Moly, one Chosar, that the Rashba's kasha really is a powerful kasha. So the Rashba's pshat gevaldik in the sense that it keeps Rav Nachman alive, doesn't force us down the root of Hevel, doesn't force us into this funny conclusion about Bor. The weak point of the Rashba's pshat was it changes the simple reading of what the Ignada meant. It didn't really mean literally physically Ignada, meant in the Olam HaSalyonim Ignada, not the Olam HaTachton of the Bor. Didn't really mean Ignada. And the two Hochachas from the Rashba, that otherwise it's Chalas B'Shiv Sof behind us, well, that's a big Bachlokes. That depends on your take on Rashi and the Rambam from earlier in the week. And the second Hochacha of the Rashba, there are two Ksub, Baris, Ksub, but there is far from Muskam. So Rabbi Say, again, Haboicha Yivchar, we presented four Mahalchim Igdeli Rishonim, what the end game of the story of Nachman was. So it begins to see, when you pass get a Shilin Bor, trying to figure out Bor, how many things are swirling around in your head. You have to figure out all these different Yisaidis. You got to figure out the principles of Tchilas B'Shiva Sefer B'Yainis. You have to figure out, is it one Bor across the Torah? What's the Mokha for Bor Shel Nezikin? Is it a separate Pasuk? Is it a Pasuk Svara? A Drash, etc. Then you have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out whether Bor Shel Nezikin of Torah, L'Havlo, L'Chafto, 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 there are a lot of things, a lot of issues are swirling together that are combining in where you draw the conclusion of the sukkah. But when all the dust settles, four mahalchim is daily rishonim, how to make sense of the story, how all the pieces of the puzzle connect. But again, each pshat in the rishonim has its difficult part to it. But one of the pshatim's got to be the pshatim, right? Elu. All right, four daily rishonim, four different pshatim how to read the maskaras. Okay, everyone figured it out when you read this gemara. Everyone figured it out the four mahalchim. Easy, no? Right? Everyone had it? You got it? Yeah, now everyone sees it? Come on. Clear as day. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't the Rashba's question on Rabbanah Pryan prove
The giraffe. You're still with the giraffe, guys. These guys. Yeah. Look at him. Yeah. Okay.
What if the Rosh was granted he's taking quoted the source the way that your Talmud did, but at the end of the day, all the other Shita still came to the conclusion that there are two types of voters.
Right. So you want to argue that? I think that the Rosh was powerful kasha, like hey, wait a second, there are two bars at Suma Torah. That type of kasha fits in nice into the Rishon. The other Rishonim, I'm not sure how much the other Rishonim involved with that kasha. Yeah, there are two bairis, but it's not like we're like married to the concept of two bairis. It happens to be lemaisa to it. So call the two bairis one bar with two different consequences in the same bar. The notion that there are two different structures is a very Rishami oriented kasha. Okay? Yeah.
Even not within the Rishami, the Gemara says Ze'av Lemezikin and Ze'av Lemisa. So no matter what source you learn it from, the Gemara is still making two distinct bars.
It does mean two distinct bars. That means that you can have, in theory, the same bar, that sometimes when Misa happens, that's called one Av. When Nizik happens, that's called another Av. It's like the same animal. Like you have one animal, when it gores, it's Av X. When it eats, it's Av Y. And when it tramples, it's Av Z. So the same bar could have multiple Avs to it.
Okay, another question. The Rashba is... assuming you can make it feel like between Hilchos Treifa and Hilchos Nezikin.
Sure.
Right, so why did the Gemara make that feel like...
No, that when you're dealing with Metzias of did the animal die or not, so then obviously the Lachas are the same. Once you come to the conclusion trying to figure out what's the sheer vor, so then you want to tell me a story that an Uchas bor, the Torah Shirim are universal, that I could buy into.
Okay, so when Rava asks on Rav Nachman...
That's exactly what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. But that's the Gnadar. No. But the Gemara changes. The Gnadar, that's what the Rosh was saying. The Gemara's answer. First, the Gemara went down the path of Hevel, and then the Gemara ultimately rejected that because of the Makkah problem. And then the Gemara figured out what the Emes is. What the Rosh says is the Emes. Let me tell you.
And so would we be able to use the split to answer the Rambam? Instead of saying the Rambam doesn't pass like with Nachman, could we say it's a split between Hilchos Treifos and Hilchos?
But he does. No. Once you tell me that the Rambam says that 10 Tvachim creates Chavot. And nothing less than 10 Tvachim creates Chavotah. Oh, you want to say the Rambam like the Rash also.
Yeah.
But the Rambam himself doesn't hold Nachman in Hilchos Treifa. So we believe that the Rambam probably didn't hold like Nachman. It's not that we made up, but we say, oh, must be the Rambam. We know the Rambam doesn't pass like Nachman. He doesn't quote. Yeah, he doesn't say anything about 6 and 4 math. Right. In theory, the Rambam could have been. There would have been no Rambam in Hilchos Treifa. We could have put the Rambam in Rash. Okay, everybody say, yeah. Still going strong.
For the Rashba, at the end of the day, how does he make sense of Rabbi Ephraim and Rav Nachman? How does he get around the problem?
Of what?
Rav Nachman. I would say Rav Nachman would say...
I would say 6 plus 4 makes Treifas.
But then he says also if you fall from 6...
No, 6 plus 4 makes Treifas, but Hilchos Bor is a Chag L'Yavah, it's got to be 10 Tvachim, because you can't beat the Torah created the same bor with multiple numbers to it.
Then why is this animal a Treifa?
Because in the end of the day, it experienced a fall, and its heart was smashed by 10 Tvachim, worth of a smash.
So you wouldn't be
chayef. You wouldn't be chayef for more than that, but it's still be
treifa.
Okay. Everybody, say good. Okay, so we move on a little bit. We're going to get a little bit of the next thing you started. Okay. Anyone anywhere? A little bit.